You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Let me just remind you that Home Affairs is brought to us by Amasha Partners Limited and iCare. Yum Vita, a delicious way to grow. Dano Milk, choose tasty milk, choose nourishment, choose Dano Milk. Dano Milk, go for it. Welcome to the month of April. Isla is here with us already. And I do hope and pray that I know a lot of people are planning vacations and holidays and time away, you know, because of Easter. But let's not forget the essence of it. Don't forget the essence of it. Easter is simply a celebration of our salvation. That is what it is. So do not forget the essence when you're planning all the chilling and everything around it. This morning, we have our Home Affairs family lawyer with us in the studio, Lawyer Painsel. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And you know why I love it when we have Lawyer Painsel? It's because he wears many hats. You know, he's a parent, he's a husband, he's a lawyer, he's a family life counselor, and he is a pastor. So he looks at the issues from all these angles, and by the time we are done, you have a holistic perspective to all the issues we will be looking at. And we have a lot of questions already from, you know, the conversation we had with him the last time. And usually when we have these conversations and we're unable to exhaust all the questions, we keep them and then find time to go over them again. So it's simply time with Lawyer Painsel. We're going to have conversations or answer lots of questions on your mind about the law and the marriage and your marriage, so that you are able to have some peace in your home. So if you want to send your questions, please do so now at 055-1111-997, 055-1111-997. Don't wait till 720. We may not be able to answer your question at that. And so we will start right here and now. Lawyer, how are you?
I'm very well.
You're good? How's the family?
Cool.
We bless God.
Sure.
Great. So we will go into it. My first question says that, let me get it. Okay. So it says, let me just not read it and tell you. It's a very interesting one. So it says that I had my traditional marriage with my fiancé or husband, only to realize after that he has been legally married for over 10 years with 3 children. What is my stance in this marriage? So the man has been married with 3 children for 10 years. It's ordinance marriage. And then he just performed traditional marriage with this other woman. And she says they got married also because she was pregnant. But then they love each other. And so now that she's discovered it, she's wondering what her position is. Is her marriage still recognized?
The position of law on this situation where a person finds herself, in this case, married to a man who at all material times of their second marriage was already married under the ordinance, is that is in law we call it a nullity. In other words, the effect of what happened the second time was as if nothing happened. And what such a person requires to do is to go to court and seek what we call a decree of nullity. In other words,
who is supposed to go to court?
The lady who's affected by this man, if either of them can do it, the man, but obviously the man is the guilty one. He wouldn't want to go first. So the person who's affected by it,
his wife doesn't know.
That's not the issue. I'm talking to you about law, the legal implication of such a situation.
Okay.
The legal implication is that the second marriage is a nullity. In other words, in the eyes of the law, that marriage did not even take place.
Oh, I see.
But for purposes of having that properly declared, you need to go to court. That one is not a dissolution of marriage.
Mm.
That's for a declaration of nullity. In other words, you are seeking a declaration from the court to the effect that that marriage never even existed. And it can never be perfected. Nothing can be done to it. It is what we call in law null and void ab initio from the beginning. The implications arising from such a situation, number one, is the fact that
the man who committed this act is guilty of what we call the offense of bigamy. In other words, a criminal offense. If the woman really desires it, she can take him through that route.
That is if his first wife...
Anyone, the woman herself, but if the first wife doesn't want a dissolution, obviously, the first wife can also go to court and seek a dissolution of the marriage on the basis that her husband has committed adultery. Mm. And adultery is one such that she can't live with it. Okay. So the original wife can go to court and see. I mean, in her case, it's a dissolution of the marriage. Okay. In the case of the second woman, she is seeking a declaration of nullity, a decree of nullity. And nullity means that it never existed. But the other implication that arise from it is she's talking of, to us of having children born out of that relationship. Mm-hmm. What in the eyes of the law, those children, the children will remain children. In Ghana, we don't have a law on bastardy. In other words, a child born to a person who is known is still a child of the person and is not deprived of anything in law. The position of the second woman is the fact that because she is not in law a wife, she is not entitled to anything for the man's estate. But sometimes it so happens that possibly the relationship, they did certain things. In other words, they acquired certain property. It's very possible that even though the marriage is a nullity, the relationship, there was an economic, I mean, relationship. And in that event, she can maintain an action for a court of law to give her, as far as those assets or properties are concerned, to give her a due share out of it. The fact that she was not a wife in law does not deprive her of any contribution that she made into the man's life with regard to properties that she can identify as between the two of them.
Okay.
Yes.
This is very interesting for me. Now, my first follow-up question will be, in this case,
yes,
she is not seeking for the nullity of the of the marriage.
I love it.
She wants the man.
Oh, lovely.
She's just realizing that, oh, I mean, and especially so, you know, like a pencil, in a case where the man is telling you that, listen, I did it because I love you, and I know when I tell you, you probably will not agree. So that is the reason I did it.
It's amazing the things women can believe.
Thank you.
I love it.
So she wants to be with the man, and she's just wondering, okay, now that I've found out this, what's my stance? So it means that, one, from what you have said, the law will not recognize
No. Okay. In other words, this is an aplanke. I mean, and she will operate as a planket throughout.
Lawyer Pencil has started using these words
as well. I mean, she better knows that.
Yeah, so if she is in it, she is just in it for the emotional, you
emotional,
know,
whatever she's getting out of it. And that will be it. And as far, I mean, if she knows the legal implications, she decides to live with it, then it will be too late for her at any point in time for her to complain. Because, see, some people, they find it's a convenient excuse. There are a lot of women around who know from the beginning. Mm. You know, the point of the matter is that you just don't take a man's word for it and tells you that, oh, this and all that. I mean, the law requires what we call the conduct of a reasonable person. The law would ask itself a question. Any woman going out with such a man. I mean, sometimes the age of the man, his standard of living, you even need to ask, even when the university were courting girls, they will go around and find out about you. They go, we know. They go around and ask people, this guy, I mean, what is his history?
Yeah.
And people tell you, this guy's a bad guy. This guy left this guy, he dumped this guy, he did those kind of things. And therefore, before a woman accepts your proposal, there's no one woman on earth who accepts your proposal without conducting due diligence.
Background checks.
Yes,
and all
yes,
that.
They do it. It's part of life.
Okay.
So they're as guilty as anything themselves. Mm. If she want to live with a man, so be it. But even, now that you've asked me, she is conducting, she is in adultery. And you see, the Bible says, Hebrew, I've forgotten the exact thing. It says that marriage is honorable in all. Mm. And the marriage bed undefiled. But God will judge adulterers and whoremongers. God shall judge them. Mm. So she must know. You care about, she might be a church, whatever, goes to church, does all the kind of things and running around and thinking she will go to heaven. According to my understanding of the Bible that I preach, such people, they are outside there. They are the dogs that the Bible refers to them. And she must know. Mm. If she really want to go to heaven, she knows what to do. No adulterer shall enter the kingdom of God. That's the word of God.
So granted also that the man knows.
Yes.
Because he knew what he was doing. That's yes. why he hid it from her, right?
Sure.
And the man is not willing for the marriage to be, you know, annulled and all that. Let's stay together and everything. And this man probably prepares a will. And because, I mean, he knows that the law will not recognize this woman just in case he dies intestate and all that. The children will be taken care of, but maybe the woman will not.
Yeah.
And he prepares his will
yes.
and wills part of his property to yeah. this woman. Will that be given to her in case the man is no longer alive?
Yes. You remember Wusum Chisam?
Okay.
That lawyer who was a Kenita Kwade, in fact, his will, it was Rawlings who personally intervened. He had a wife and children, but according to what we read in the papers, he gave everything to the girlfriend. And it's perfectly legal in law, except that the law, depending on the kind of situation that the wife and children may find themselves, if he didn't make provision for them at all in his will, there's a way out that they can go to court and ask the court to give them what we call reasonable portion, a provision from the estate. But if a man gives good reasons why he didn't give anything, because a will is a sacred document. Everybody has got a good reason to do what he wants to do with his legitimately acquired properties. You know, in other cultures, they give it to dogs, they give it to cats, they give it to all charities, and so forth and so on. I've really prepared words for clients who give King James version of the Bible to their children. They'll select you. This boy, they'll give you reasons why his executor must give him a Bible for him to read to have a change of mind and heart. And a man is entitled. A man, I'm telling you, I use man, I use it in the whatever, gender neutral, in the sense that it covers anybody. So what is your lawfully acquired properties? You can do whatever you like with it. It's as simple as that. If he decides to indulge his side chick or this one's concubine, the proper word is concubinage. She's in concubinage. She's thinking she's in marriage. She's not. And she can't get it. But worldly wise men, they'd rather buy a property for, I mean, this. Recently, you know, the newspapers have been awarded with this state of this girl who went into this relationship and got all of these things. Yeah. That's the worldly wise. That's what they do. They would, and a lot of the women, I know from experience, that's they know the man's got a wife and child. The man says, I'll give you this flat. Oh, I'm buying this house for you. Oh, you just be the side chick. I'm going to indulge you with all of this. And they do it. So it's not, every fact will be treated for what it is. But I'm speaking to, obviously, things outside this studio also. But the long and short is, we want to know the legal implications of these things. And your question has been answered, which is that, if the man decides that everything that he's got, this woman will give. Nobody knows what happened in the bedrooms or elsewhere that made the man think that way. So that will be it. The law will respect it.
I see.
Yes.
I see. So, I mean, if I am summing up what we have, what we have been saying so far, if you're legally married,
yes,
and you go and marry someone else, that marriage will not be recognized by law.
No.
And your wife can take steps to have that marriage annulled.
No, your wife, she's entitled to a dissolution of the marriage if she desires.
No, I mean the other marriage.
You're very right. Don't call her wife.
No. I'm talking about your legally married wife, if she gets to know.
Yes, the legally married wife, if she desires, listen carefully, because the fact that your spouse committed adultery can be a ground. But there's no law that says that anytime your spouse commits adultery, please go and have a dissolution. Mm-hmm. That's not the law. But it is one of the grounds that a spouse can rely upon for purposes of dissolving a marriage.
No, I'm not talking about her marriage to her husband. She doesn't want to divorce her husband.
Yeah.
But then she can take steps to have the other marriage annulled.
Oh, yeah, she can. Uh-huh. But she did not even do it. Why must she worry herself?
The marriage already is not recognized.
She doesn't need to worry herself at all. The issue is with the other person, if she wants to get her from that relationship, get the court to properly declare and possibly get some award or whatever from it. Because in all of these situations, issues of compensation, damages, or whatever will always arise. But if she's got an understanding, she wants to say, but if I have my husband and you are the planquet and you are just comfortable, I mean, she need not do anything about it.
Okay.
Yes.
But no, again, I mean, in as much as the law, like you rightly said, yes. In as much as the law does not recognize that marriage,
sure.
If the man wills part of his property to that woman.
Not part, everything.
Well, this man is not very wicked like
that. No, the law recognizes it.
Recognized. How about if the property was acquired by he and his wife?
Good. The issue is you can only will your self-acquired property.
Okay.
So if the man decides that this is the self-acquired property with my wife, but I'm giving the half of it, which is my portion, to this woman, the law recognizes it. It's as simple as that.
So let me ask again. You have a house.
Yes.
That you built together with your wife.
Sure.
Which part of that are you able to will to someone else?
No, you see, a house, as you put it, mm-hmm. is not capable of being divided like bread. You know what I'm saying? So we talk of an interest, and the interest will be deemed to be half. And therefore, if, for instance, we decide that the property has to be put on the market, because that's how normally we relate to properties who are jointly acquired. We are talking of your interest in terms of value. Wow. Yeah. So there could be three people who own it. There could be four people who own it. Even some people typically acquire property in the names of their wives and their children. So if, for instance, this man has got a wife, I mean, he has a wife, maybe he has also two children with his wife, and he acquired the property in their names. Mm. Then we are talking about four people owning the property. If he's wicked sufficiently to decide that his portion must be given to this, his concubine or his wife in court, then it will mean that the wife and the two children have to decide how. If this were a matter that had to go to court, what normally will happen is that the court will cause the property to be valued and her portion of it. If not, she says she'll go and live in there, we don't know how it will come out, but she'll be entitled to go and live in a portion. If it is clearly, built in a way as to, maybe it's flats, maybe there are four flats in an apartment, and then she decides that one flat is capable of, she can go and live in there. I'm talking about legally in terms of law, and the law will protect her to do it. Except that maybe the practical aspect of it may be difficult, but that the law is not an emotional court. I like people to appreciate that once you go to court, you go to a court of law, and your rights will be given to you if the rights are clearly specified. And I'm not too sure you're going to get a judge who is interested in the emotional aspects of it. It's not going to be.
It's interesting, how these things will come up only when it becomes necessary, and we don't think about them.
Well, you're right.
So there's a question here that says that I was married for 4 years. After the fourth year, my partner said she wasn't interested in the marriage anymore, so she left home. She has been out for 3 years. What does the law say with regards to it? That's with regards to 1, divorce, 2, compensations, 3, sharing of property, and 4, any other issues lawyer may help me with.
Well, in law, separation of 2 years, when there has been a separation for only 2 years,
mm-hmm.
then the law is that it could be a ground for divorce if both parties consent to the divorce.
Okay.
If it is 5 years or more, then you don't require consent to, apply or to go to court to have the marriage dissolved. So he's talking about 3 years. So now that it's less than 3 years, then separation for more than 2 years, less than 5 years, then he requires the consent of his wife to go to court for the dissolution of the marriage. But it may not only be the separation. There could be other elements, because what normally leads to separation and all of desertion and so forth may actually depend on the situation at home, may depend on conduct which sometimes are unbearable, intolerable, unreasonable, and so forth and so on. And one of the grounds of these divorces is that the conduct of the other party is unreasonable, so unreasonable that the court or the law cannot expect the other party to live with it. So therefore, if in this case we are led to believe that the woman left because of her own unreasonable behavior, then the man can then go to court. That is not only because she may refuse to give you the consent.
Yeah.
Yes, they can refuse. So you can go to court for unreasonable behavior. So it's a ground for seeking a divorce. Now, the issue of compensation, our law of divorce essentially dwells on wrongdoing. Whenever you file a petition for divorce, you are alleging that the other party is guilty of so many wrongdoings. And in other words, the other party is the reason why the marriage has collapsed. Obviously, when the respondent also comes in, that's the other party comes in, you also have all kind of things that the person can also put as the reason, real reason. So at the end of the day, we have a situation where two parties are in court. Each is seeking a divorce. In other words, I file a petition for divorce. The other party also files and says that the marriage may be dissolved on the grounds that I'm relying upon. In other words, if it's the man who, for instance, goes to court, his petition must be rejected. My answer or my counter petition must be the one. And the reason for the law aligning itself that way is that compensation and all of this is essentially founded on wrongdoing. So that the party whom the court will find to be the reason for the breakdown of the marriage will normally have to bear the cost of the litigation and also will have to pay some compensation that will be assessed by the court. If they had a property, and I will assume for the sake of our discussion that a young couple started life and so forth, they all contributed towards the property, the law is that equality is equity. In other words, it will be split between the two of them. Other than that, it is more about who contributed what. There is a current view going out that says that anytime that properties are acquired in the course of marriage, then it becomes 50-50. I mean, the law has now become very clearer these days. It's not as simple as that. It's all about, it depends on so many factors. And so that relates to the issue of compensation, I mean, the property. I think the last question has been taken up, but essentially, that's the kind of situation that he finds himself.
Mm.
Yes, that's the kind of situation that he finds himself.
Interesting.
Yes.
Now, let me ask West this. That's one that's quite complicated. I don't even understand it myself. But
let me see if I understand.
So the person asked, what are the legal implications of marrying abroad? And I was trying to find out. I thought it was pretty vague.
It's not.
It's not, eh?
No.
Okay.
Well, it's got a lot of meaning. You see, and I'll speak to it from a certain standpoint. You see, especially among Ghanaians, two Ghanaians meet and they say they've married. Mm-hmm. Listen quite carefully. You know that in Ghana, customary marriage is essentially a marriage, what you say, between two families.
Yeah.
The consent of both families come together. So therefore, if it so happens, for instance, that two Ghanaians or a Ghanaian with anybody else claims to have married somebody else under customary law,
mm-hmm.
an issue would always arise whether that marriage really fulfills the essential elements of customary marriage. And if it does not, there's a possibility that a court of law may reject a claim that they were married. But if, as it happens, two Ghanaians meet outside, even without any discussion, whatever, with their family and so forth, and so they decide to contract an ordinance marriage, mm-hmm. an ordinance marriage, then regardless of what the families like or dislike or agrees or disagree, that law will be valid for all purposes. Because insofar as the marriage that the contractor is valid under the laws of the country in which they married,
mm-hmm.
there is something called Committee of Nations, some respect that nations give to the laws of various countries and so forth and so on. But then, now that we've got this new wave of men and men marrying, if two Ghanaians meet in the U.S., two Ghanaian men, they meet in the U.S. and they claim to have married under the laws of the U.S. It may be valid in the U.S., but absolutely no way. The Ghanaian law does continues to define marriage as between a man and a woman.
So between, those men can still be legally
married. Yeah, they can place themselves in the U.S., but absolutely no way that the marriage can be recognized in Ghana. So marrying outside, depending on the factors and the circumstances, may make the marriage valid or invalid in this country. So maybe some lesson that other people may know, especially the men who have now jumped, or even women are also doing it. Women, they're also marrying in many countries where their laws recognize those systems of marriage. Ghana, we've not got to the stage or the situation where our laws recognize those forms of marriages. So they can live comfortably where they are, but they shouldn't bring it to Ghana. It's as simple as that.
Don't bring it here.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Yeah.
Okay, so in this case where, and you know that happens a lot.
Yeah.
A man is legally married home,
yeah.
You know, ordinance marriage, proper marriage. Yes. I mean, they've done everything. And sometimes even with children.
Yes.
And then he travels abroad. And usually they would say that because of documentations, he marries there also. Please help us align these ones.
You are going to make me laugh. You know, with due respect to people who do that, listen to me. People can find excuses for all kind of things.
Mm.
In the Nuremberg trials, after the Second World War, there was the excuse of command from above. You were killing people, and you say you were commanded from above. Really? Can there be a good reason for doing what you did?
Of course
people
not.
Go on these things. And sometimes I'm embarrassed as a pastor when women, church-going women, they come to know, Mekunawari, so the papers. Really? You collude with your husband to marry or go through a system of marriage with somebody's daughter, and you want me to believe that your husband is through that trying to what? Whatever, regularizing his stay so that when he finishes, he will bring you, he will rather use those people to bring you there. You are mad.
Oh.
No, I mean, please.
Lawyer, but it happens.
It does happen. But my problem is this. The kind of mindset that, listen to me, I see, in this world, people have to make choices. And I mean, please, I'm not pronouncing on their choices in terms, let people justify themselves. But please, we are moral beings. And at the end of it, people will answer for everything that they do, not only even to God, even to the laws of our country. Because in the jurisdiction that you find yourself, it is a criminal offense. If they've got evidence, sufficient evidence, and I've seen women, I've seen a lot of them, when it gets to a stage, then they notice that the thing has gone out of hand. Because it's like this 419 people do, you know?
Yeah.
419 start by somebody trying to seek your consent for the two of you to dupe somebody. Then he dupes you.
True.
And when he has duped you, because he has corrupted you round one, you don't know how to make noise out of it. Because if you have to tell the truth about the 419, where it started with him securing your consent for the two of you to go and dupe somebody.
True.
And that is 90% of this money. That's how they end up. The man starts with this thing, justify what he's doing. You also consent to it. He has secured your consent to defraud somebody's daughter. And by the time that he finishes, either it is too sweet for him to leave it to go, or even when he has finished, he has no use for you. Oh, the whole thing. So people who are engaged in it, please, my advice to them, listen, I'm a Ghanaian, I'm also a pastor, I'm a lawyer. First, criminal, the whole conduct is criminal. The concept itself is criminal to start with. It's immoral. But if people believe that that's the way they have to do to go through this life, let it be a matter between them and their God. Let each man rise and fall before his own God. But I think it's absolutely immoral. But I've also told you that in law, it is. I've seen it. Women, girls consent to your husband, they marry. Then the men rely on that one to say that our marriage has been dissolved. And it goes on. It happens. I've seen it so many times. You went. The man is there. He asks you, go to court. Go and have this thing that we have dissolved because I need that paper in order to marry.
Yeah.
Then you go and do it. Then he takes it. Then he goes ahead and he said, but you need to bring.
What does this thing say? Oh my God.
That's what happens. And that's what happens. It's happening all the time.
That one is drinking a taste of your
own. Naturally. I mean, it's good recompense. It's good recompense. One day comes, sometimes I'm happy, but I don't know what
to
tell them. You know, I can't celebrate in your face, you know?
Oh, dear.
But I think they deserve it. In other words, in this life, wow. Black people make choices. Let them make choices. You see, personally, I have this philosophy that let everybody know the implication of what he wants to do. And if he chooses that he wants to do it, my duty as a lawyer is to tell you that this is the implication. When you do this and you do this, I don't hold sway over you. And if you understand it and you want to do it, go ahead. But these are the implications.
Mm.
And when the implications visit you, don't pretend that you didn't know. It's as simple as that.
Because there was this case about this same case. We're married, mm-hmm. but then I want to marry for documentation. Papers. And then he goes on to marry. But then in his mind, right, he
yes.
was marrying for papers because at some point he knew that he was going to, you know, file for divorce from the woman.
Yeah.
But the woman abroad, in her mind, she wasn't a proper marriage.
That's the case all the time.
And so for some of these women, yes, we are married. And
you're
so
right.
You will be intimate and all
you're
that.
Right.
And then she gets pregnant, there's a baby, and now husband is telling wife that, you know what, we need somebody to come and help take care of the baby. And
that happens all the time.
That will even hasten your coming abroad. So you come in and then you become a house help.
They do it all the time.
And now her heart is aching because for as long as she has been there, her husband is sleeping in the room with another person and there, and then she is cleaning and doing all of those and will have to hide to be intimate with the man. Now she says that she's unable to do that anymore because she's been doing that for like God knows how long. She can't do it. She wants to come back and then have the marriage, you know, dissolved. And it's a whole lot of
issues. It's a shame. And it's, I mean, going through such indignity.
Hmm.
You see, it's all about the choices that I say we must all learn to make. It's all about choice.
Hmm.
And people must make choices based on the best of whatever, considerations. Yeah, if you go through that kind of thing, Nigeria will say, God don't punish you.
Greener pastures.
Believe it. Believe it.
Greener pastures.
What price must a man pay, a woman pay, in order to maintain all... Oh, man. I mean, sometimes... I mean, I can't understand certain things. And when people go through this kind of things and then the consequences come home, then they pretend like they didn't know. I mean, come on.
And usually your family members, and that's her biggest problem.
Yeah.
Her family members are telling her that you are already there, so endure.
Hey.
You know? And so they're not even looking forward to you coming back home. Be there and endure. And now you're with your husband, you can't even get pregnant for him. And you see, I mean, it's just crazy.
It's all a choice. It's all a choice. It's all a choice. And such people, I'm not sure I sympathize with them at all. I don't really sympathize with these people. Yes.
Oh, wow. This is an interesting one. Says, what is the law's stance on the wife maintaining her maiden name and not taking her husband's name? Is this legal and is the wife considered a legitimate wife?
Thank you. The wife's a legitimate wife. Even if she decides to change her name to somebody else's name and then the husband's name, there's no law that requires that a person must have a particular name after marriage. It's a tradition that has been carried on from generation to generation, and we find it convenient to follow.
Yeah.
I personally, for instance, have a difficulty with those compounded names. They maintain you already have a double-barred name. Your husband has a double-barred name. Then you add, they've got four names. Are you a magician? You know? But this got nothing to do with law.
Okay.
It's got to do with preferences, choices. And the law gives everybody a choice and a right. And I believe that men ought to respect women's choices on the issue of what name they want to keep or maintain. If it takes your name, you thank God for it. If he doesn't take it, it's a right.
So, I mean, like Pencil, if it is not such a big deal,
yes,
how then is it that if you want to change the name, you have to go through all that process of, you know, publishing of bans and all of those things before you are able to take on the name?
No, you see, we have associated some of these things with prestige and so forth and so on. And that's what happens. And there are some women, when you marry them for 50 years, unless you've taken them to ordinance marriage, you can marry on the customary marriage, have the president of Ghana, everybody attend. Unless you take them into a church and do the ordinance, they will never pick your name. I don't quarrel with them. And so forth and so on. But with specific regard to your question, there's a procedure the law requires that if you want to change your name, you must go through.
Okay.
In other words, you must
even
swear.
If it's not for the purposes of marriage.
No. That's why you must go through to legally change your name.
Okay.
And like I said, as you rightly put it, it's not about marriage at all.
Okay.
It's about change of name. People have got all kind of reasons for wanting to change their names, and the law allows it. But if you want to do it, you must go through a procedure, and the thing must be published in the Gazette.
Yeah,
a lot of people are doing this even with that Gazette notification. They must know. One day you carry your certificate, you go to an interview, the name on your CV is different for your destiny. They want to see by what law, by what means, by what procedure, how did you change your name? If you don't have that Gazette notification, you may have some difficulty, even though everybody believes that the certificate relates to you. So that's why we do those things. Yes.
So same way, if probably the marriage ends and you don't want to carry their name anymore, you will have to go through all that process again.
Let me tell you, I don't even have a problem with that one. The problem I have with the woman who divorced and keep the husband's names, that's my problem. There's a procedure called jactitation of marriage. Jesus. I mean, that is to say, if a woman, you see, when a woman has divorced a man, or a man has divorced a woman, and the woman goes about with a man's name, it's a pretense, you know? In other words, she's creating the impression to the world that she's still married to the man, and like you're embarrassing the man. You know what I'm saying? I'm Kweku Pencil. And if you go about as Mrs. Pencil and the Mrs. Pencil relates to Kweku Pencil, come on, what are you telling the world, that I'm married to more than one Mrs. Pencil? You know, so that is the law. I mean, that is the
So that one,
the man can go to court and get an order for you to take that name off your name. They do it.
I have a friend who says that if that ever happens to him, you will not keep his name for 1 hour.
Oh, me, I've told myself that if my wife dead, divorce me. She must take my name off the very next day. In fact, the next day, she must do it. I will allow her a day to do it. It's very simple.
Oh, dear. These things are very interesting. And like I said, I mean, when we have these conversations, they're so enlightening because on daily basis, you don't even think about these things until they hit you.
Yeah, right.
So having little bits of, you know, legal knowledge, especially so about this institution that a lot of us desire to be in, is very important.
Yeah.
So that when you're making the decisions, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, think through. Love me, love my dog.
Yes.
That's the way it goes.
Until you realize that, okay, they didn't love you truly, so you want out. And then all the issues will start coming
out.
Someone asked me, so I am married. I don't want to be married again.
Yes.
And I need to work with a lawyer.
Yes.
Her question is, why are these legal fees and filing fees and all of these things so expensive? She thinks that it's just a ploy for people who can't afford it to continue to be in these painful relationships. What do you have to say about that? Because you people are the one who do the charges.
You see, there's an English solicitor whose name I've forgotten, but I'm sure if you Google, you come across. He wrote a book. He said, lawyers can seriously damage your health. You know? It's the title of the book. If you Google, I'm sure you'll find it. And he wrote another book, said The Conveyancing Fraud. He was trying to show how conveyancing, even in Ghana, it's so simple. But he still requires a lawyer to draft it. He has to earn his fees and so forth. So he puts himself to the task of even using the book to educate people how they can draft their own conveyances. But please, I'll tell you this. I'm not justifying the high fees that lawyers charge. I'm not justifying it. As a matter of fact, there's no law that requires you to use a lawyer in our courts at all. That's the first point. There's no legal requirement. Yes, there's no legal requirement that requires anybody to use the service of a lawyer. But you are the ones who talk of technicalities. You will always get to a point. And if you go to our courts, we've got a few guys who have so conversant with the procedure and stuff like that. They know how to file things. They know how to do all of this. It doesn't cost them anything. But obviously, there are, once someone has gone to school to learn a trade or learn a profession, quite natural, you can't compete. And sometimes you get into those grooves, then you require a lawyer or somebody with that knowledge to be able. But it is my view that if our court themselves, but please listen carefully, at the district court level, that court is very informal. And the registrar of those, the registrars of the district courts have the power to assist, people, litigants that go before them, possibly with the originating processes. So you can get a registrar for a district court who can assist you to draft all the necessary things. The duty is imposed on them by law. And indeed, it can even dissolve a marriage at a district court. But it all depends on the properties involved and so forth and so on, because we have economic jurisdictions. The money jurisdictions of these courts. There are cases, if they are beyond, if the value of the matters in contention are beyond such values, you must go to the next and the next and the next in between the district circuit and the high court. I forgot actually the monetary jurisdictions now, but if, for instance, you are talking about transaction value property, you want to go to the district court, it's your whole problem.
Yeah,
and you'll be caught somewhere along the line. But please, I'm not justifying, those expensive legal fees. I don't know even what expensive means. But if you come to me, listen very carefully, you've got a property in East Lagos, you want to wrestle it from your husband, you think you want me to do it for free?
No.
Then you're not even being fair. So typical lawyers are influenced.
Not do it for free, but yeah.
If I were, lawyers are influenced by what is at stake. In other words, what is it? That's it. Ghana, mostly, most of the legal fees we talk about are contingent. And Ghana, they're getting for free. In other words, it's like success fee. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times you just have gone out there. A lot of the people they don't really have much. So maybe
I hear some people actually ask of percentages of, the value of whatever it is that is involved.
Not some people. It's kind of practice in Ghana here. And I'll show you why. Elsewhere, there's something we call billable hours. Like at my stage or a senior counsel stage, we are talking about an average about $500 per hour. Okay? There's no way that you can bill. Even the corporate distance in Ghana here, they are not even used to being billed in the hours and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They want you to do the whole work. So that is what brings this percentage business. So if you've come to me, you claim you don't have anything, you want me to go through a full litigation, and then when I finish, you have got your house in East Lagos, then I'll go and chew sugar cane and related fruits. It doesn't happen that way.
Okay.
So that explains why in most of the cases we go for these things. As for that one, I think it's fair. In the UK and other jurisdictions, it's considered unethical because the ethics is that a lawyer must not be so much interested in the conduct of the success of a case to the point that his fees are based on what he gets out of it. Elsewhere, it's unethical.
Okay.
But in Ghana, here, when people don't have money or they claim they don't have money and you have to go through the full hawk before you can be paid, then we must have a way of assessing.
Because I know a friend who, they have been separated for forever, like 15 years, and they still haven't gone through the proper divorce, because at the point where it started, the woman couldn't afford it and the man was not ready to free you. And they've gone like that. Now everybody they're in different relationships.
They've got used to.
They are in different relationships. They've had children.
But let me show you the legal implications of that.
Life is going on.
Let me show you the legal implications of that. In both cases, whoever is first to die, let me talk, since men are always dying before their wives. So let's put it this way. If the man dies first, let me tell you what, that woman can come. And unless the man has made a will, In law, she is the wife, regardless of
how
what,
long you have
regardless,
been away.
Regardless. That's the danger a lot of people are going through. And I've seen it happen so many times. That, you know, a lot of times when the women have been driven out of the house, women get driven out of the houses. And when they have, they go and sit there somewhere. They wait. The man, you die. They know. You die before them. Rarely do women or wives die before their husbands. And then when you are dead, she comes. The triumphant entry. She comes. And in law, she's the wife. If you haven't made a will, she, together with your children, wherever you acquire them, don't forget of the funeral children. They only appear at the funerals. All of them, they line up together, and they will be entitled to your house. That's the law.
So the fact that you've been separated for long and everybody has gone quiet on it doesn't mean that, you know,
the law is still there. Mm. And that's why people must do things when they have the time, when they can do the thing that they have to do.
And dear, my friend, it was Zampao.
Yeah, so tell her to pray to live longer. And she will have a revenge when the man dies.
Oh, my word.
That's the way it goes.
This is interesting. So much education in one show. This is still Home Affairs, and I am here with lawyer Kweku Paintsil. We have been trying to answer some of your questions that are coming through on, you know, when it comes to legal issues and your marriage. And if you have questions, you can send them through as well. But before we go on, Yum Vita infant cereal with milk is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, iron, and calcium, and to aid in baby's healthy growth. It comes in three delicious flavors, maize and wheat, rice and wheat variants, and three unique pack sizes, 50 gram, 400 gram, and 350 gram block bottom pouch. Get the pack size that best suits your family need. Yum Vita, it's a delicious way to grow. And I encourage you to enrich your breakfast with the nourishing goodness of Dano Milk Cool Cow instant powdered milk. The rich rich taste of Now, the rich taste of Dano Milk makes a perfect combination with your tea, oats, cocoa, and others. It gives you that great tasting breakfast you've always desired. The Dano Milk Cool Cow is fortified with vitamin A, and it's also a good source of protein and nutrients such as vitamin B12 and iodine, and it helps keep you nourished and strong always. Dano Milk is affordable, and in a shop near you, choose Dano Milk today for your nourishment and build your strength every day. Dano Milk, go for it. This advert is FDA approved. And I have been telling you this forever and won't stop telling you that for all your eye care challenges, please look no further. Amasha Partners Limited and Eye Care has it all. Your eyes deserve the best care and quality designer eyeglasses, and Amasha Partners and Eye Care, they also undertake the following services: supply of designer frames, sight testing, supply of lenses, sunglasses, contact lenses, ophthalmologist in attendance, and general treatment. You can locate them at La Upsa Trade Fair, Spinters, adjacent ICGC before the Community 18 Junction. When you go to McCarthy Hill, you will find them opposite the Benjie Lodge. North Kanishi, they are opposite Swan Lake, Greenhand Junction. Achimota, you will find them in the Denswa Plaza. And when you go to Takrady, they are on the Axim Road, opposite CBG Bank. Ho, they are opposite the Housing Junction. And Kumasi, they are at the airport roundabout. Kolibu, you will find them opposite the ECG. And in Koforidua, they are on the Central Hospital Road. And when you go to Tema Community 1, you will find them inside the Meridian Plaza. Numbers to call: 0302-939-850 and 0302-778827. You can also follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I am talking about Amasha Partners Limited. And remember that Pentecost Hour, a religious broadcast program sponsored by the Church of Pentecost, comes your way with the chairman of the Church of Pentecost, Apostle Eric Nyameche, on Joy 99.7 FM from 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. So you want to tune in this Sunday at 1:30 and every other Sunday as Apostle Nyameche brings you life-transforming truth that nourishes the soul, ignites passion, and restores hope in the nations. The Church of Pentecost, we are possessing the nations for the Lord.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Yamvita is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, calcium, and iron for your baby's healthy growth. Yamvita, a delicious way to grow. This advert is FDA approved.
Some call it the big red box. Others call it a treasure trove. Explore our range of furniture. Kitia Mall is a real wonderland with a fascinating experience. From the moment you enter right through to the moment you leave, you will feel inspired. There's so much to see, touch, and feel as you walk through Kitia Mall. We are now open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day and 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Sundays. Visit us today off Spencer's Road and explore our range of furniture and decor accessories that match your lifestyle needs.
Ghana promo is here. Let's celebrate our rich culture with authentic wooden products this Ghana month. Visit Wudin retail shops and partner shops nationwide and receive an instant gift with your purchase. You also stand a chance of winning a hamper full of Wudin products in a weekly draw. Terms and conditions apply.
Wudin, le créateur.
There's going to come a time that the church will rise as the highest of all the mountains, and saviors will be raised in the church to deal with the world system. And let it be now. We need to have a national focus. We don't have to lose this ambition, or else we work against the Great Commission.
They are equipped in righteousness, the agenda to possess the nations. Welcome to an equipping center of the word and prayer on Pentecost Hour. Pentecost Hour comes to you on Joy 99.7 FM, 1:30 p.m. every Sunday.
All right, thank you very much for staying with us. This is Home Affairs Right on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Adam Knight Tay, producer Daniela Edwasari, and my guest is lawyer Kweku Pencil. But I have a very interesting question here. It says that my wife is not comfortable because our marriage is customary, though registered. But I don't have any problem with it. Does she have a cause to worry? If yes, why?
She's got cause to worry because marriage is not about one person being happy. It's about both parties being happy. And number one, if your wife is a Catholic, for instance, uh-huh. she can't take communion in her church. It's a religious
What does thing. The registration of the marriage mean?
The registration is to give validity, to give recognition, to let, for purposes of evidence, to show. But it goes beyond that, especially between customary and the ordinance marriage. You know, the ordinance marriage, apart from fulfilling religious beliefs or religious, I'll put it that way, religious beliefs, which gives people comfort. Because don't forget that we are moral beings also. There are people, they are in a church. So like I said, if your wife, for instance, is a Catholic, and then whatever you do, she goes to church and she can't take communion because she's not married under the church's own rules, which would mean that she has not converted her customary marriage into an ordinance marriage. Besides, and I know that ordinance marriage is something we consider prestigious. You may think it doesn't matter, but please, this life is a very short life.
Please educate me. Ordinance marriage means what?
Ordinance marriage is a conversion of a potentially polygamous marriage to an essentially monogamous marriage.
Okay.
So and as long as the wife lives under customary marriage, it means that the husband can potentially marry another woman.
Okay, please hold on for me.
That's what
I mean. Let me clear my head on this one. So when you have your traditional marriage at home.
Yes.
And then you go sign the marriage certificate or, you know
yes,
how
yes,
we do
go
it.
Go and register.
Yeah, so that is not ordinance?
No.
Okay.
Two things.
Okay.
Customary marriage is like the Mohammedan marriage. It's potentially polygamous. What it means is that a person married under customary law, typically in Ghana, can marry more than one woman.
Okay.
And please, let me tell you this. I know for a fact, for instance, that even the Muslim elite, after their Mohammedan marriage, they go to the Register General to convert their marriage into an ordinance marriage. Please, when you are married under the customary marriage, under the customary law, and you go to also conduct the ordinance or have the ordinance marriage, we call it a conversion. In other words, you are moving from one system of law to the other. And what it means is that once a woman marries under the ordinance, she's more secured than she's under the customary marriage. Because if the man decides to go philandering, if the man decides to play games, then all those women, they become side chicks at the very best. They cannot be recognized as wives.
Pencil, the ordinance marriage, is it about the ceremony?
It's not about the ceremony, it's about what the law says. The ordinance marriage, that's the prestigious aspect. That's why our...
So which aspect concerns the law?
The law part of it is there's a procedure for contracting an ordinance marriage.
Okay.
You know, publication of bonds.
Exactly.
We even got a registered certificate.
Yes.
And a special license.
Yes.
Any of them, when you follow through,
yes,
will make your marriage an ordinance marriage.
Okay.
And the best point that I like everybody to appreciate is that the ordinance marriage is essentially a monogamous marriage. Essentially, in other words, it does not in any way admit of more than one man, one machete.
Okay.
As simple as that.
I understand that perfectly. So, you can still have your traditional marriage at home.
Yes.
And if you go through the processes laid down for the ordinance marriage, your marriage is still recognized as ordinance.
Your marriage then becomes an ordinance marriage. And the
so it is really not about the ceremony. That one is the glamorous part
of it. That is so.
But then if you go through the laid down procedures of the law, then your marriage is an ordinance marriage.
That is so.
And not necessarily the fact that you, because I know that there are people who can go ahead and have this wedding in a church that is not even able to convert that marriage into an ordinance one. That one is also there.
Yeah, but you see, because he did not give us a reason for the wife's unhappiness. So I was taking it from...
You're
very right.
Okay.
So maybe the wife is worried that if I don't, I'm not careful, this man, the next time I'm here, she brought a young man's son and says that young man's son is his wife. And please, let me tell you from practical example. It happens, and I've had such experiences in my practice. When a man, somebody that he brings home as my sister, I mean, if you crow back, those kind of things, the man dies and the family says he was also a wife.
Which one? The
one who comes and says, so I'm from the same hometown with her. Oh, she's my family sister.
God punish you.
You know what I'm saying? And then it turns out that they say, and it's the family against you.
That's true.
The family is against you. But if, for instance, this woman is secured under the ordinance, then whatever name they give to her will be their own name.
Okay, so like, for the purposes of education and being very clear on it.
You're right.
Take us through in just like a minute or two. I mean, how to ensure that your marriage is under the ordinance.
Good. Whether you have contracted a customary marriage
or not.
The procedure...
Or whether you have registered it or not.
That is so.
Okay.
The way to contract an ordinance marriage is there are three ways.
Okay.
You can apply to the register. We've got what we call a register of marriages.
Okay.
The register of marriages, he can give you what we call a registry certificate.
Okay.
That specifies certain conditions as having been proved before him that this man wants to marry this girl. None of them is under 21 years of age. And this marriage eventually will be celebrated in a place approved and licensed and between certain hours and open place between 8 o'clock and 6 p.m. In fact, the registered marriage is 8 o'clock to 4 a.m. 4 p.m. Oh, that's one. So we've got the registrar who issues a certificate to validate marriages upon prescribed conditions. Number two,
which is under the ordinance.
Under the ordinance.
Okay.
Then we've got what we call the marriage officer's certificate.
Okay.
Those are the ministers of the gospel, the ministers, I mean, the church and wherever. That is where the publication of banns is done.
Okay.
That's also a strict procedure. It must be published in English and vernacular for the people. It must be celebrated in a premises that is licensed. It must be done within certain hours. None of the parties must be under 21 years. And all of those kinds. Or finally, we've got, because I saw one of your questions that asked about, what do you call it? If they celebrate outside the church. It's not about the church. It's about a licensed place.
Mm.
If it's a church, the place must be licensed. The minister who does it must be a recognized minister of that church.
Mm.
Then we've got the final one, which we call the special license. That is issued by the registrar. The special license is given to anybody who desires to go to an ordinance marriage upon proof that all these conditions that apply to marriage under the ordinance have been fulfilled. And the registrar can give you a special license to celebrate the marriage any place. You can do it by the beach. You can do it wherever. But the registrar has to give you a special license to be able to do that. So it is when you have complied with the strict formalities under the law, then when you've gone out of it, because the failure to follow the procedure could end up your marriage being declared to be invalid.
I see.
If, for instance, the marriage is celebrated after 6 p.m., it's against the law. If the marriage is celebrated, but it's found out that at the time of the marriage, one of them was below 21 years and consent was not sought from the parents or whatever, the marriage will be declared invalid. If it was done and the premises had not been licensed, your marriage had every publication of bans. After publication of bans, the marriage must be celebrated within 3 months of the publication of the bans. If you fail to celebrate the marriage within 3 months, you must go back to square one and start the procedure. And if you fail to do that, what you went through will be declared invalid, and so forth and so on. But when you have finished and the certificate has been issued to you in accordance with law, then that marriage that we call an ordinance is just, under the law, it's called Christian marriage. law. The law under which this marriage was introduced in Ghana, in those days, they call us ordinances. That's why we call ordinance marriage. But the Marriages Act that we have today recognizes this marriage as Christian marriage. Yes. And because we normally celebrate in the church. So it's not a particular place that you do it, but the fact that you've gone through the procedure, secured approval, the place has been licensed, the minister who did it has been licensed, and so forth and so on, then the incident of that marriage is that none of the parties can contract outside that marriage and purport to have contracted a second marriage.
Okay.
Then the law sees you as husband, sees you as the wife.
Claire, my final follow-up question, and we'll wrap up on this, is so you may have gone through, you can go through the process, right?
Sure.
In court, yeah. And go and have it signed off in court and everything.
Yes.
And then you can choose to now come and celebrate it in church. Because people do that. That is done a lot.
Even right, it includes the celebration in church. It includes. That's
but you can
things.
Choose not to go and celebrate it in
that
church.
That is so. You can go to the beach. Go to Labadi Beach.
But why? Must you necessarily do the celebration?
Oh, no. You know, the incident, the form of the man, listen carefully. The law itself is that the requirement in law, whether you do it in church or whatever, is two witnesses. That is why the law, the minister and two witnesses.
Exactly.
Except that when you do in church, you are sure this is Ghana.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Passerbys will even come in.
No, but what I'm trying to say is that, so you could do all of these in court because a lot of people
naturally,
and you have your
the registrar's office.
They go exactly. They sign it on every
district assembly.
So when you do that,
you are right.
And let's say that you attend a small community church,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That doesn't have the license and everything.
You are right.
Going to have, you know, the white wedding there where you are adorned in your dress and your husband is in their tux and everything doesn't really matter.
No. The pomp and pageantry is not part of it.
All right.
No, indeed. I understand Rollins had a wedding in Batakari. That's what I'm told. I cannot attest to that.
Okay.
But even the dressing you wear, it doesn't matter.
Okay. You can finish that and choose to celebrate in your
whatever
living room
you
with your children. And you're fine. But your marriage... was conducted under the ordinance.
That's so.
And that's fine. Okay.
That's what the law prescribes.
We'll rest this matter. I guess, I mean, all of you who are asking me questions and sending me issues, we are all very clear on this one now. But our time is up and we will have to wrap up on Home Affairs today. Next week, we're going to have a special Easter programming. Daniela and I won't be here. But we're going to bring you some very interesting program. But we promise you after that, look, the questions, they're like a pencil. Looks like we're going to have two more sessions back to back with you. So please prepare for us after Easter. And then we will have you again to answer the questions. My colleague sent a message. And he says that, what if the foreign, you know, marriage is just an arrangement and no intimacy is involved with both women aware? Sometimes they are only married on paper with a foreign woman in on it as well. How about that?
Yeah, sometimes they do. We know that as a fact. Not every relationship that ends up in intimacy and all of that. But it doesn't really change the substance of what they did. That the whole thing is built on deceit and so forth. And so it doesn't really change much.
Okay, Pedro, yes. That was your answer. But thank you all very much for doing the listening. Like, Pedro, we appreciate you. Time
thank
with you,
you
is